KJ, the KJ Show on WEEI. Good Sunday to you. 617-779-7937. Good on the Sox. And I'm talking about the 25-man roster. We'll get with the three knuckleheads in a little bit. But what we've seen the last couple of days in Washington had to happen because of the narrative. Look, you know, Brad Foe's got the show, Baseball Isn't Boring. It isn't boring here, but in about 20 cities around America, baseball is boring. It's not here because there's this consistent drama. Call it, like, I don't know, like the underdog versus the man. But the man happens to be running the show for the underdogs. And here's where I'm going to give a lot of flowers to the Red Sox players. Man, there's been a lot of noise. This has been the most interesting and different season of the last five. It feels like, damn, Mac Jones wasn't even the quarterback here. This is how much drama you've got going on with this team. And they're 500, right? Like, again, this all circles around, is this a 500 team? But guess what? They could sweep the Nationals today, which they should do. There'll be a game over 500. And then guess who's coming to town? The worst team possibly in the history of Major League Baseball. To put it in perspective, when Colorado comes, they will have 20 wins. If they win two out of three games in the series, they would have won 10% of their entire yearly total. That's how bad they are. So if you're the fan like I am, you say, you know what? This young team, they need a narrative. If they end up, they've won two, they could potentially win six in a row. Look, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but let's just call it what it is. If this Red Sox team cannot finish off this sweep today and then sweep Colorado, the conversation's going to go back to like, oh my gosh, what are these guys doing? Like, this is what I said going into this weekend series on Thursday was, you cannot lose this series with all the narrative that's happening. My goodness, the Red Sox almost became a national story before they even took the field on Friday. This is how just absolutely crazy it's been for this team this season. But I'm going to give these guys their flowers because they've ignored the noise. I mean, the run production, not only through this series over the last 7 days. Think about it. The team in the last 7 days is hitting 309. I don't even know if there's anybody on the team who's hitting 309. They're hitting 309 over the last 7 days. They have scored 46 runs in six games. This is what you're supposed to do against the bad teams to ensure that you're not a bad team. Other things that are happening that you could say, you know what? Maybe we should just kind of hold tight. Like, ignore the Breslow and Kennedy noise of what they're saying. I'm almost kind of like, you know what? Let's stick with the hand that you've dealt, because I'd rather know what I have than to be disappointed with expectation to getting this team help. Do they need more pitching? I don't know. Giolito's turned out to be okay. Buehler, okay. Like, yesterday was one of those situations like, okay, Red Sox are up 9-0. Please don't turn this into a 9-7 game. Please. Jacob Lassiter, my producer, did you have that feeling yesterday? Like, okay, great. The Sox are up 9-0. Please, Buehler, don't give up seven runs and make this game interesting.
I had that feeling once, and that was during the first inning, because we've seen so many times with Walker Buehler, us getting that lead in the top of the first, and then him just going and then stinking it up in the bottom of the first. And so that's what I thought was going to happen. So I was pleasantly surprised, actually.
Yeah, after yesterday's game, if Buehler doesn't have any kids, his first kid's name should be Jaren Duran. Like, I mean, that save by that in the left by Duran prevented us from seeing the Walker Buehler film part four or five at this point, because it felt like it was coming, but it didn't. The on-base percentage, 356. That's the highest, whether it's been for the year, over the last couple of weeks, over the last month. So things are happening for the... I got to support the guys on the field, because you just don't know what you're going to get from the people upstairs. And this has been kind of this reminds me a lot of 2021, except for the team doesn't have the record. But you feel like, okay, things are moving. I'm one of those that says, I'm glad that Roman Anthony didn't come up and hit a home run in his first two games. He struggled, but now he's becoming a solid contact hitter. Where the defense is, that's still kind of things kind of to be worked out. But you're like, okay, at least we don't have another person who's struggling that's coming up brand new. Like, I think Roman Anthony's starting to figure it out. And good on Alex Cora on trusting him to start playing him against lefties, because just 2 weeks ago, people here were screaming, what, are we just going to babysit him and Mayer against left hand? Those guys are in there now. Trevor Story. Trevor Story is on fire. Now, again, for me, it's like Trevor Story here giving you great defense at short answers a big question. I mean, was it Kike Hernandez not too long ago at short, right? So there are things that there are victories that are happening that for me that says, okay, and I'm not gonna get down on one knee and ask this team to marry me just yet. If they can win today and sweep Colorado, then I have faith that this is a team that you could potentially marry who's only 2.5 games out of the last wild card spot. I can start talking a bit about the wild card because we're now more than halfway into the season than we are at the half. Like, when you're hearing the conversation, you've played 60 games, you're like, we're only three. It's 60. There's still 100 games to go. And if you're an under 500 team after 60 games, you know, the numbers are going to show that you're going to be well below. You're going to be considerably below 500 pretty much if you go the way you're going. But if you're at 500 after 90 games, really right at 90 games, with what, 72 games remaining, it's really believable that this team could still win themselves another 35 to 37 games. I think that's a real possibility. And because the way the Yankees, I mean, the AL East, I never thought the AL East would look like what the AL Central used to look like, which was kind of like, you got one guy at the top and everybody else, you know, like, is just struggling. The AL East is so compact right now because the Yankees are falling apart. And nobody feels bad about that. If you're the Red Sox, you almost have to feel good to say, well, if Toronto's sitting in that seat, Toronto is in a team that we felt like we've had super troubles with over the last couple of years. So there are things that are coming into place for the Red Sox as constructed. I'll get into some of Sam Kennedy's comments here shortly. 617-779-7937. Right now, I probably feel as good about the team as I did right after they swept the Yankees, right? Because right after they swept the Yankees, look what the Yankees have really become. And you would almost have to say, all right, if the Red Sox can start beating these bad teams, because that was the issue. Like, why are you losing to bad teams? You sweep today. And I would dare say against Colorado, you sweep that series. You've now got 2 6-game winning streaks over the course of a 3-week period, right? Because there was one right off of that, or they won like 5 out of 6, I think, once they swept the Yankees. Oh, no, after they swept the Yankees, that became like they were like the hottest team in the league. So if you can get back to that, and then when it gets to the trade deadline, or this is where I would say, okay, maybe you don't have to do too much. Maybe you rent a first. I don't know. If something happens where, like, even if they lose today to Washington, right, they still won 2 out of 3, and I can live with that. But then you would say you need to go on a run against Colorado going into this All-Star break, because if you find yourself, it would be a disappointment if they only won 2 out of 3 against Colorado. I know you would win another series, and you say, KJ, you can't win them all. Damn it, if a team only has 20 wins after 90 games, they are letting you know that in 100 games, they should never win 2 out of 3. Never win 2 out of 3. So if that's the case, you might as well win all 3 games in that series. So with Trevor Story's turnaround, I'm now like, okay, forget the money that he's getting, and it seems like it's too much. You're now getting something solid day-to-day, consistently, once he went through that funk of all the strikeouts he was going through a few weeks back. Trevor Story is now looking like something that you would say, does someone want him? Right? Like that is a dilemma I would have if I'm Breslow and Kennedy and those guys. Is that because Trevor Story is showing himself to be valuable right now, do you try and move off of him while he's hot and say, you know, Mayer's our short, Bregman's coming back shortly, he's our third baseman, right? Because I there's no real future, I think, for Mayer at second long term. I think that's not why you were patient with him. But at the same time, at what point, if you could ever get off of the train ride that is Trevor Story, would you do it at a time when he's hottest near the trade deadline, where someone says, okay, here's someone that can help shore us up, help us with our defense, and we're not dependent on his offense? The Dodgers, right? But so that's the other thing. It's the team playing well allows the conversation to still go along. Is this team going to be buyers at the trade deadline? I'm just that person that says, well, what can you really buy? We know what it's been in the past. It's like, oh my God, you need pitching in the worst way. Now you're like, hey, people are probably going to call you about one of these pitchers, and you'd probably have to say, nah, we need to hang on to this right now, because I would probably say a third of the league looks at the Red Sox as sellers. Then there's probably a third of the league that says they're probably going to be buyers. And then there's another third of the league who says, I'd rather let it see it play out, unless they're giving up, you know, something super big, right? Like, to me, Duran would be something pretty big, because you're like, hey, this guy was an all-star last year. I don't want to have that conversation, him leaving. I don't think he should leave, because the question would be is, how do you replace what he's doing and what he's done to be a triples machine? Think about it. When he hit that triple yesterday, you realize it was with two outs, and the guy did not flinch running the third. 85% of the rest of the league is going to stand at second and say, you know what? Another shot. I'm gonna score. No, this guy run. He double triples for him are like doubles, and that is so hard to find in the league. So I'm not sure I would be that person that says, yeah, let's consider moving Duran for one of the new guys.
Duran, right? Doesn't run. He flies.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say he's as fast as this person, but people that I've seen going around the base paths, his gazelle-like moves, like, he doesn't take tiny steps. Maybe Duran takes about 6 full steps between two bases. That's how quick he's moving. Henderson, a little more compact. He's like, Duran is like, boom, 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 boom. Deion Sanders was like that. Deion Sanders more was like a gazelle around the base paths. These are two incredibly fast guys. So you don't give up speed. When I saw the redevelopment of this team going into maybe about 2 years ago, where it was going to be more defensive and more speed-based, giving up Duran is your way of saying, we're going to go away from the speed and we're now going to go with X. And I would say, go with what you're going with, because speed and defense isn't going to cost you a lot of money. And you could cause havoc. The Red Sox are able to cause havoc on the base path. And that's why when you're talking about, like, in this wild card race, if the Red Sox can start to figure out how to win these games on the road, because last year they were a better road team than they were at home. This year they're better at home than they are on the road. But if they can pick up the road pace, if they can get to 500 on the road, now I would say this is a team that definitely is one that you would say, watch out for the wild card, because their run differential is in the positive. They're better than a couple teams, you know, in terms of run difference. They're better than a team in front of them. So, again, there are some things that say they should be buyers. I'll get into Sam Kennedy's comments here right after we get to trending. 617-779-7937. It's the KJ Show. Go ahead and trend, Jacob. The KJ Show, WEEI, 617-779-7937. That's Red Sox Sam Kennedy on the Greg Hill Show last week, talking about what at the time was like, whoa. Like, what if the White House next to, like, this team is suddenly going to be a winner? And what do you know? The team has the ability to sweep the series in D.C. And then comes the Rockies next. Like, this is the gift that the Red Sox need. All right, text messages, 617-779-7937. Jacob, what you got?
I got from the 508, the KJ Show, I like it. Your thoughts on the Red Sox going to the White House on Thursday? Big deal or no?
Oh, geez. What, it's 8:22 and suddenly I've got to pour some liquor out here? Jeez. So, in this microwave society we're in, for some people, that's a big deal. For those that kind of think and kind of take a breath in the pause, you realize that you just can't schedule a visit to the White House 2 days before you're going to show up. Usually, you have to do these 6 to 8 months in advance. It's called about 8 months in advance. So if the schedule came out, maybe when you first got the schedule and you knew that you were going to be in D.C., you schedule a trip to visit the White House. Because let's just call it what it is. When do you really think this team is going to be visiting the White House as World Series champs? I don't think it's anybody's. So there's a part of you that says, hey.
Veritek thinks next year.
Well, you know, that's. Well, I think it's just. I think it was just odd that Kennedy makes that statement. And then a couple days, a day or two, the next day, the Red Sox end up at the White House. And for some fans, and I understand, I don't necessarily agree, but I understand, you're like, hey, the team is playing poorly, and then the optics just got worse. You know, they say you can't please all the people all the time. Well, now that number's down to like 47 to 48% of the time. Can you not say anything that's going to please anybody? That's just where we are. So the Red Sox going to the White House on the day off makes total sense. It's on the schedule. How often are the Red Sox in D.C. to play the Nationals, all right? It happened to be July 4th as well. For those who are up in their arms, look, if it was the Connecticut Sun that came and made the visit, dude's not coming out of his office or having them come in the office, right? It's a little bit of a power play by a powerful person. It's just like, well, you know, I know the owner type thing and so forth and everything. Those are the optics that bother some people about the Red Sox because of politics and so forth. The other side of it is you got to schedule these things way in advance. And let's just say 8 months ago, you probably didn't really know exactly who was going to be where. You're just going to schedule the visit. So, not a big deal. But it would be a big deal if you're saying, oh my God, the Sox have lost 2 of 3. You know what the conversation would be? Ah, see, that's what you get next to it. Look. I think the really good reason why I'm out of music radio is because you can't even play a song without someone saying there's something political to it. Why did you play that one? And you know, it's like, oh my gosh, I just played Mary Had a Little Lamb. Did she buy the lamb? Is she stealing the lamb? Did she earn that lamb? Like, oh my God. And people tried that with the Red Sox visiting the White House, because I've never seen. Jacob, I've never seen 10 guys almost run through there to shake a hand. I was like, this is sped up tape. They're like, chum, 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 chum.
Well, really, I mean, quick. Bernardino got the Trump bump yesterday. 2 innings, spotless.
See, there you go. You're feeding the narrative, right? Like, the other part of it is, and this is why I say you can't please all the people some of the time, but 48% of the time, you're never going to do it. For the players that chose not to go, you know, I don't think it was a mandatory visit. It wasn't mandatory that they had to go. So if they said, hey, I'm not going to go. Instead, I'm going to take my kids to go see the monument or what have you. You know, players, people were actually looking for names of players who weren't there and to try and say, I'm no longer a fan of yours. You're an idiot. I mean, if that's what I'm saying. Everybody's brains are microwaved right now. It's just like, it's like,
Hot Pockets.
And then suddenly you think, you know, it's not a big deal that they went to the White House. It'd be a big deal if they're at the White House next year and they make a run, then they get to go, because you're like, there's nothing that told me, there's nothing in the last 3 to 4 years has said to me, man, the Red Sox are on the verge of winning it all. I mean, the last 4 years has been, hey, the White Sox are on the verge of finishing below 500. And call it what it is, that's still where they are right now. I mean, when you're a 500 team, it does mean that you can finish below 500, like when you're that close to the line. So not so much a big deal. But a little bit of a big deal about inferring that, hey, yeah, we're going to be, I can't wait for us to be at the White House next year as World Series champions. Bro, you're fooling nobody. Nobody. I don't see any path of the Red Sox winning a World Series. Now, getting there may not be as tough. The American League isn't as dominant. You know, like the way the Yankees are falling apart, that's a story right there. Baltimore, who you thought would be this growing entity with new ownership and paying to get Corbin Burns last year, the very next year decided to not only not pay Corbin Burns, but not win games. So they're in the mix. Toronto, there's a part of you that believes like, okay, we've seen the Toronto hocus pocus magic before, but it a lot of times ends up being pixie dust, right? You're not really concerned about that. The Rays, I would always say, watch out for them, but because they're actually playing like in a real ballpark, that's a minor league ballpark, they're the ones that might need to go look for a slugger. Like that might be the team that goes to look for him because of this race. My disappointment is, hey, the Red Sox were in the middle of it with Toronto and the Rays, even during a little bit of the malaise. They were still in the mix of it. With those guys being a game and a half out, the Yankees and the Rays being a game and a half, well, now 3 games out, the Yankees are. You feel like the Red Sox are missing in on the parade. That's why I say you win today, you got to sweep Colorado and hope that when it comes to the AL East number, that the Red Sox are within 3 of whoever's in first place. It'll probably still be Toronto by the time this Colorado series is over. And then you could say, all right, maybe there is a conversation about winning the AL East and you don't seem crazy. You do have Garrett Crochet as your horse, and what a horse that is. I wish I could pitch him every day. Lucas Giolito, look, you at one point we're thinking like, why is he here? Now you're like, what a steal, kind of, you know. Bayo stuff has shown up. This is some of the things they talked about. Like, Bayo needed to be around some veteran pitching to see how it's done. No longer are we talking about the pressures of Brian Bayo being a 1. Look, dude, if you're a 3, just be the best 3 you can be. You know, we'll see what you start to get from Tanner Houck as he's continuing his recovery. So the pitching situation, we're not discussing as much as we did as it was like a fire for the last few years. And that right there in itself is a victory, and I will give Breslow credit in that regard. I said that he would go get guys because he's a former pitcher himself. That's what he was pretty much doing when he was working there with the Cubs in their organization, just really looking at what was going on at AA and AAA and knowing where those values were. I think that's where he knew that there was real value, that Crochet could be a steal because, yeah, he's Crochet's there in Chicago, and so is he. And now you've got a situation where, okay, if Walker Buehler can just kind of, I don't know, when I've been seeing Walker Buehler going out to pitch, I'm thinking like, maybe someone, if he hasn't seen the movie, maybe someone should show him Bull Durham, you know, be like, maybe you wear lingerie underneath your because it relaxes you. And I'm totally kidding. But, you know, if there's a relaxation that comes, then what if suddenly you start seeing Walker Buehler from the Dodgers World Series last year suddenly? Now you're like, okay, management doesn't sound really super crazy about us being a playoff team, potentially getting to that AL East lead and winning the AL East. Look, whatever you're getting from Cleveland and the Twins out in the Central, you're like, okay, that's cool, but you don't feel like they're a dominant team. Houston's not necessarily the same. Seattle's in the mix, but you've seen Seattle and you pulled 2 of 3 from them. So maybe not so crazy that the Red Sox management believes that there's still a run in this team. And see how that, I think that's the other crazy thing, and Corey just said it there in the in trending, is that's why it's 162, right? It's in 90 games, you're at 500. If you told me at the start of the season, if you said at the start of the season, Rafael Devers would be gone, how many games do you think this team could win? At around the halfway mark, I would say less than half. I would say they probably win maybe 42 games, somewhere in there. Okay, and that's the thing. 3 games makes such a difference, right? If I say 42 games, this is a team that's what? 7 games, 8 games under 500 after 90 games? But just the 3-game difference is like, hey, they're a 500 team. Jacob, I don't know if you know this, producer Zach Coe, watch, he's a 162er. Are you close to that? Watching all 162 games of the season?
Yeah, definitely. I work for the team. I'm producing about 115 games for them. So yes.
Well, there you go. So you can't necessarily be playing solitaire in the bottom of the 7th, right? But I try and do 142 just because I'm a married guy, right? Like I do about 142. I I will get a day off. Now, I don't take key days off, but I will take a day off. But I would say moving forward, it'd be very hard to take a day off of keeping your eyes off of this team because it's so roller coaster, right? Like, in the 27 games at a time feature that I have here on the KJ Show, at the end of episode 3, which ended with Devers being gone, the team in shambles, you don't know what's going on, and now it's all on Breslow. And these players, I think, have gotten to the point, and this is where I really credit Alex Cora, is now he's kind of probably giving that same 2021 speech that he gave, but now to a bunch of young guys. Like, the bulk of this team is between the age of 25 and 30. I mean, that is a absolutely baby face team that's hanging in there. The narratives in terms of what guys are expected to do and what they have done has been great for some and disappointing for others, right? Where's the future of Tristan Casas? Let's just add, if we're talking about going to go get a first baseman that can really smash and help get this run going, you're not going to be like, well, okay, well, thanks for your services. Tristan Casas is back. Oh, you'd have to figure like, hey, is it time to just go ahead and go get the all-star at first base and not try and do the development thing that you've done for about the last 6 seasons, you know, between Bobby Dalbec and Tristan Casas, right? Dalbec obviously having to change his position because of Raffy at third. Isn't that crazy to think? And then now Casas, who was the guy that was mashing at minors, is like, bring him up, time to bring him up, still hasn't fully figured it out. And now with an injury, you have to wonder, where are things for him emotionally as a player, considering you haven't been able to get things done the way that, I hate to use the word expectation, but that's why they call it prospect. A prospect, that's really another word for expectation. That the expectation just hasn't hit. And if it hasn't hit and others have, and this is the one glaring issue that we're facing, the team probably needs to go get somebody who's established themselves in Major League Baseball. I mean, this may, as crazy as this may sound, I'm kind of mad that Toronto's made this run, right? Because if Toronto was like this sinking ship, you would say, you know, Red Sox, you have plenty of money to absorb Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s contract. Now you'd be like, it's an overpaid contract. He's not performing the way he has historically. And I would say, have you seen what first base has been for the Red Sox? For a while, you know? So, yeah. Like I said, these guys are starting to figure some things out. Like, the best, like, I'm just looking at their batting averages, right? The first inning, this is what we're seeing. These guys are hot. Their biggest RBI inning for the Red Sox is the first inning. So somewhere along the line, I think Cora is encouraging these guys, hey, just get up there and do your thing. Just get up there and do your thing. And it's kind of working, you know, some of the, you know, once you get into some of the later innings, but the team is hitting 270 in the first inning. 65 RBI, if all of its RBIs are coming in the first inning, this is really good for a young team. Right? Because if you're a young team and you're like, you get shut down the first time at bat, the confidence may go down a little bit. 617-779-7937. It's the KJ Show. Still to come, would you rather more likely to? And since it is 4th of July weekend, we go back in time to figure if some of these Boston sports figures could actually hack it in the Revolutionary Army. That's still to come. Let's go to Wally in Fall River. Wally, thanks so much for calling the KJ Show. Good Sunday to you.
What's up, KJ? I've been following these guys a long time, since 61. But as far as this year goes, like I said, it seems they've stabilized. Things couldn't get any worse. You look at the Yankees now, they're crumbling. But like we said, this is a young team. They need a little guidance for their son to wake up a little. But the main thing is, KJ, you get guys shipping in. If you don't strike out, you get a chance. You can put the ball in play. But like you said with Breslow, you got to get a first baseman, and you got to get another starting pitcher. I mean, I like Toro, I like Gonzalez. But if you can get Olsen or Josh Naylor, But I'd be very disappointed if Breslow didn't do nothing major at this deadline. I'm sure you agree with me. But you got a lot of teams in a wild card hunt, so they'll be out looking too, shopping. So it's up to Breslow to do his job. Otherwise, people aren't going to be happy again.
Wally, thanks for the call. Always great to hear from you. Yeah, if there was someone, I would say, you know, Josh Naylor would be ideal. One, because of the wall and his ability to hit the opposite field. Two, where his power zone does exist, it's on the shorter part of right field, right? So Josh Naylor is not that guy that's going to hit those, let's just call it on the western side of the bullpen. Am I making sense, right? Like, his are always going to be on the east side of the bullpen, and he's going to go opposite field. This is kind of what you would be missing from Devers, except for Devers is a little more to the western part of the bullpen. And when I say western, I mean we're facing from home plate, okay? So Devers is more likely to put it towards the triangle bullpen side. Naylor's more likely to put it on the pesky pole eastern part of the bullpen side, which is going to be the shorter part when he goes for power. But in terms for contact, he could slap off the wall all day. Why not Matt Olson? Just too close for comfort. I'm totally kidding. But you see this happening with Devers, and even though you have interleague play, you do get used to seeing pretty much some of the same guys and what the team's approaches are going to be to you when you stay in the same league. Now, with Naylor all those years in Cleveland, coming back, you're familiar with the travel. You know where you're going. You know, there are familiarities that you have, and if you're picking someone up at the trade deadline, you want them to be ready to go. With Devers, I think when they did that deal, once it was just like, can you take him now, please? You get a little bit of time to adjust, and then you've got to do what you got to do. That's why I'm not so much hung up on what Devers isn't doing, because guess what Devers wasn't doing to start the season here? He wasn't doing anything. So, but then he started to, I think he was on the verge of being player of the month for the month of what, May? Because he just was on fire. So I think that still will help. I think Raffy will end up helping the Giants. But I think if you get someone in here like a Josh Naylor, who could come in, give you, because that's where you say, hey, I don't need a home run hitter. I just need another additional hitter. You're like, I know it's another left-handed bat. But at this point, you know, right? You just need somebody at first. And when you start talking about the right-handed bats that you need, Romy Gonzalez and Rob Refsnyder have over-indexed for this team. They have been a form of a savior. But at the same time, you would also want, yeah, so that's one of those situations where I'm like, hey, look, let those guys be that savior in that regard. Go get another bat that will be able to get this team charged up on a run. It's the KJ Show. We continue next here on WEEI, 617-779-7937. Thank you so much for hanging out. KJ Show, WEEI, good Sunday to you. 4th of July weekend. And is that a gunshot or firework going on? Oh, my gosh. I think it's the most annoying thing. Is once the 4th is over, put the fireworks away. What are you eating them for? Put yourself in the mind of the forefathers of this country. Do you think they were busting off shots? They might have been celebrating. did they have to go to New Hampshire to buy fireworks? 1776. After the... at some point, like, at what point do fireworks not become like kids' toys, right? Like, there's some things you should leave to the professionals, right? Because it was... The whole thing about getting fireworks at one point was because it was kind of illegal to do. Now that pretty much nothing is illegal to have, like what's the excitement in it? Jacob, gunshot or firework?
That's a firework.
That is correct. Gunshot or firework?
That's a gunshot. to a dog, though, it's the same thing.
Yeah, right, exactly. I was going to say, did you go to an HBCU like I did? Because there's one thing I could discern is a gunshot from a firework. That's for sure. I was like, no, that's a gun right there. Especially when they have that long tail to it, you know, like. Ooh, duck. 617-779-7937. We are minutes away from Would You Rather, more likely to either or. Brandon in Boston, thanks so much for calling the KJ Show on your Sunday. Thanks so much for being here. You're on the
air. How you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my phone call. So, you know, I was thinking about the Celtics, and I'm like, they have a void that they need to, you know, fill. And I'm looking at Russell Westbrook. He opted out of his contract. Why not get a guy like that? He averaged like 13 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 44% field goal rating. You know, he opted out of his contract. Give him a 2-year deal, veteran minimum, that will cost you about $7 million. I mean, he's eager to win, and I can see the excitement here and the energy that we bring in the stadium that he'll just take and embrace. I would like to see Russell Westbrook here because, you know, just like Carmelo and Westbrook, I would like to see them get a ring. And why not look at a guy like that? I think he's hungry, man. Why not?
All right, thanks for the call. Westbrook here? I don't know. I mean, because really you're going to have duplication between him and Pritchard coming off of the bench. And I would say Pritchard is the one that can actually hit the open shot between the two. So the Celtics don't need any more small guys. They need size. You have to look at what's going on in your own conference. If there was going to be any legs to Giannis to the Celtics. Now, I would have bought that. I would have been able to buy that. That if you're like, let's make a move for Giannis and some of the people you have here, and then Tatum comes. Now you've got Giannis who's playing center that no center would be able to catch up with. You play him at the center part, you can keep Tatum at the four, or even when the season starts, you can play Giannis at the four and put a warm body at the five. That's where you would hope that Cornette would have stayed for some money. But because the Giannis thing is out of the picture, which I think is the real answer for the Celtics, is you need to address the lack of front court size that you have, and you don't have anybody in the front court with Tatum down for sure through December, right? And even once you get to December, there still has to be another evaluation of, are you going to just throw Tatum back out there and this team might be a 7 seed in the East? All right, more of your texts, more of your calls, 617-779-7937. Get a little Patriots talking here about, like, I see something interesting on the depth chart that makes me go, oh boy, and you'll be surprised in what room it's in. But now it is time for... It's been a minute since I've done this, man. It's going to be fun. Come on.
Would you, rather more likely to? Either or, I ask of you. Would you rather more likely to? Either or, I ask of you.
All right, 3 questions. Would you rather more likely to happen? An either or. They can be in anything, sports, life. Here we go.
Is that my cue?
That's your cue, Jacob.
I don't have the questions.
What? You don't. That is on me. So here's the first one. Will the Celtics underwhelm and have a shot at a lottery pick in 2026, or make a move trading Derek White to get more quality players? You have the questions now. I think the Celtics are going to be one of these teams that's going to be around the 7-8 seed. It'll allow them to be in the mix of the lottery draft balls, see if they can sneak up and potentially get a high-quality player. So I don't think they move Derek White, but I also don't think that this team is going to be better than, say, 6 in the East. And if they're in the play-in tournament at 7, then maybe there's a shot that they will have a pretty high pick, because they haven't had a high pick in a very long time. And this is the only way that you're going to be able to reset your roster, is to go find somebody younger than Tatum and Brown, and hopefully they develop. But you're not going to be drafting at 3 to get them. So I think it's going to be underwhelming Celtics team trying to get a better pick in the 2026 draft. Next.
more likely to happen, the Patriots win 10 games or the Red Sox finish with 82 wins, which would be their best record since 2021 and their first time over 500 in 4 years?
While I don't want to give up the answer about the Patriots, I think the Red Sox have a chance to win 82 games. That just means they'll just be a tad over 500. It won't mean that they're a playoff team, but they would be better than last year. And I think that's kind of the goal of management is, if we can convince the people that you're actually seeing a better team record-wise on the field than you have in the last three seasons, that's a win for management, even though the fan base obviously wants to be playoff baseball. We want October to be live here. So, yeah, I think the Sox are more likely to win 82 games than the Patriots to win 10 games this season. Next.
Either or. Either open mouth kiss Bonnie Blue or try to open the mouth of a 6-foot-long alligator.
Open mouth kiss Bonnie Blue or open the mouth of a 6-foot-long alligator. At alligator, is the alligator at Alligator Alcatraz by any chance? Or this is any alligator?
At any alligator.
Because if it was at Alligator Alcatraz and my freedom was on the line, I'm opening the damn mouth of the alligator. And then I can go ahead. But gosh. Open mouth kiss Bonnie Blue or open the mouth of a 6. Can I pull a John Lyons and say neither?
No.
No, I can't. I can't do that because it's either or. Open mouth kiss Bonnie Blue or open the mouth of a 6-foot-long alligator. Damn, I'm going to have to open mouth kiss Bonnie Blue, drink some Everclear right before and right after, because that alligator, it's going to snap back and bite off my hand. So that is, would you rather, more likely to either or here on the KJ Show. Patriots depth chart next here on WEEI.